Welcome to Cat Chat, the pet talk podcast devoted to the physical and emotional well-being of cats and their people. I'm Tracy Hotchner, the author of The Cat Bible, Everything Your Cat Expects You to Know. My mission is to entertain, educate, and inspire cat lovers like you to give kitty cats the best possible life in nutrition, affection, and environmental enrichment. This show is brought to you by Dr. Elsie's, where they speak for cats, which is what this program is all about. My co-host is the feline expert, Dr. Michael Maria Delgado, along with other cat authors and experts. The show is made possible with the generous support of Dr. Elsie's, a company privately owned by Dr. Bruce Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose mission has been to personally formulate a wide variety of litters for all types of cats so they keep using their litter box, which keeps them in their loving homes. Dr. Elsie also created his own cat food called Clean Protein, wet and dry foods that are specifically appropriate for a cat's nutrition needs because they're based on the protein a cat eats naturally. Clean Protein is the first dry cat food I personally can recommend because it is based on the protein found in a cat's natural prey. Please show your appreciation that Dr. Elsie's underwrites this show by choosing their products whenever you can. It is truly wonderful to be back with Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkins. She and I have devoted ourselves together on this show, Cat Chat, for so many years, coming on more than a decade, to the concept that many diseases in cats are human-made, 100% caused by humans who unknowingly, for the vast majority of you, those of you who have never listened to the show before, you're off the hook. The rest of you know that if you're feeding kitty crack, if you're feeding any dry food to your cats, you are going to pretty much sign some kind of a poor health warrant, if not a death warrant, by doing that. And besides urinary tract problems, which Dr. Elizabeth and I will talk about in a separate show, diabetes is the main problem in feeding highly processed carbohydrates to an obligate carnivore. I was very disturbed, Elizabeth, when I learned about a big veterinary conference in Florida at which a veterinarian who seemed apparently to be thrilled, excited, and like a cheerleader for a new drug that's been developed for cats who are diabetics. And I thought, how can you be doing this, folks? Doctors, smart people, medical degrees, all you have to do is stop feeding kitty crack and you wouldn't have diabetes in the first place. So they're telling people to keep on feeding dry food and then developing a drug, and God knows what the R&D is on developing a new drug and getting it through all the tests, and then selling the drug at who knows what cost in order to cure a disease that you, the cat owner, and maybe some the cat doctor, have caused. What were your thoughts about this? Were they along those indignant lines of mine?
Well, and by the way, Tracy, thank you for having me on the show. But yeah, it's, you know, I try to live an anxiety and frustration-free life now because I know how important that is to our health, physical and mental health as humans.
Yes.
So I try not to get real crazy real often like I used to, and you know that from all the years we've known each other.
Yes.
But this is one of those things where I sat down and I said, I cannot believe that Big Pharma is protecting Big Food. And do not get me started on both of those entities, because Big Pharma and Big Food are the devil.
Yes.
They are co-devils.
Yep.
On the human side as well as veterinary.
Of course.
Okay, it's the same both ways. But yeah, we've got a problem created by veterinary Big Food or pet food, the big industries that are selling and feeding this extremely cheap, horrible food. I'd love to use other words, but I'm going to keep it clean here on your show. These horrible foods that you and I decided are kitty crack, that are really bad for cats and are the direct cause over time of feline type 2 diabetes. And so instead of taking the time and spending the money to educate people about it, which of course would decrease the sales of those foods, Big Pharma, who also wants to get in on the money, decided let's produce a drug that will be the hooks here are that this is really convenient for owners. They don't have to inject their cats anymore.
Right.
Well, of course they wouldn't have to inject their cats if the cats didn't have diabetes in the first place. So this is a food industry created disease, as you and I are always saying. And now it's going to be a pharma industry treated disease, much to the profitability of big pharma. And by the way, I've done my research on this product. It's going to cost the average cat owner $300 a month.
Oh my God. Okay.
To give this pill or liquid, it comes in both forms, to their cat. Now, all that's bad enough. The cat shouldn't have the disease in the first place and can probably go off insulin or anything else if it gets on a decent diet. But two, it's going to be very expensive, more expensive than insulin for sure.
Wow.
And it's not going to be as effective. I sent you a copy of a letter that was sent to veterinarians by the FDA warning them about all the caveats on this product.
No kidding.
I give FDA a little credit for sending the letter out. I don't give them credit for approving the drug, but I give them credit for at least warning veterinarians that the product has extreme limitations. It can't be used in a cat that's ever had insulin. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
So now we're talking about a veterinarian. Yeah. So a veterinarian who diagnoses a brand new diabetic could consider putting that cat on this product. The unfortunate thing is that this product doesn't actually act like insulin or anything like insulin. It just decreases the amount of sugar uptake, reuptake by the kidneys when the sugar is spilling, okay, into the urine. It prevents the kidneys from reuptaking. So it's an inhibitor of that salvaging by the kidney to keep glucose. It's very limited in its ability, and veterinarians are told to check these cats all the time, even more than they do when the cat is on insulin, that they have to be very concerned about any changes, negative changes in the cat's behavior.
Wow.
Because diabetic ketoacidosis is a big secondary problem with this product because it doesn't really control blood glucose. It's a train wreck, Tracy. It's not just one of those things like when somebody comes out with a new form of insulin, I go, oh, come on, why don't we just keep these cats
right.
from getting sick in the first place?
Right.
This is a train wreck. This doesn't even belong in most cats, and it is going to be harmful for very many of them it's put into, and it's going to create horrific cost for pet owners.
This is much more disturbing than I had thought, because I just saw the headline. I didn't know about the FDA letter, and that's why I, even when I talk to you, which is a long-standing relationship where we share lots of thoughts and comments off the air, I didn't do that in this case because I wanted to sort of hear your unredacted reaction. But to learn that this product, which, you know, there was all this enthusiasm, it was this big, you know, reveal, if you will, at the veterinary conference.
Right.
It upset me because the big reveal at the veterinary conference should be, hey, guys, how could we make it work well for us and for the cats, because those are our end patients, the cats, and figure out a way to get people away from feeding the harmful, highly processed carbs, which make up all of the dry foods out there. But no, instead, it's, okay, we're not going to admit that the dry food caused the diabetes. It was the cause of it. Not a contributor, but the cause. And so that's something you're going to find, you know, Elizabeth and 11 and a half other veterinarians telling you that, adamantly telling you, their hair on fire. Lisa Pearson, other doctors, you know, my feline cat. I mean, people for decades have been trying so hard to save these cats from what people have done to them. And most of the people are loving owners. All of you listening are loving owners, but if you really love your cat, you got to stop feeding kitty crack. And if your cat is diabetic, there are ways, if it hasn't been diabetic for too long or diagnosed more recently, there are ways to back out of that and help the cat become non-diabetic. And food is the medicine. The right food
Absolutely.
Is the medicine. It has to be done under veterinary care because you can cause physical reactions that can make the cat very sick or even die if they're not managed correctly. But there's many people online, as well as, you know, write me, Tracy at Tracy Hotchner Pets, Dr. Elizabeth and I could have many, many shows, and maybe we will, about, okay, step 1, 2, 3, how to get your cat off kitty crack if they are already diabetic and get them to a place of health. And if they're too far gone diabetically, you know what to do. Maybe we will do that. Maybe that will be our resolution, Elizabeth, for 2024. I mean, this is what we need to tell people, because I think everyone listening cares deeply for their cats, and they want them to live to that famous indoor cat age of 20 or 21. They're not getting there if they've got diabetes. Nope. It's not going to happen.
They are not.
You know, I think one of the things we've talked about before is that there was a period of time, and I don't know if it still exists in vet clinics, where vets were saying, oh, your cat's a diabetic, but we have this veterinary prescription food in a can, which is going to cure them or help cure them. And then you and I would look at the ingredients list on the can called the DEC, and it was often very carbohydrate heavy. The companies that made these very, very expensive veterinary foods in a can, like the ones in a bag are very, very expensive, had basically, it seemed like, ground up dry food and put it with more water in a can. It wasn't, you know, a high protein, low carb diet, which is kind of what, and a good amount of fat, which is what we want. Wasn't there a time when veterinarians were doing that, selling veterinary prescription diets in a can, when any high quality canned cat food not only would have been just as good, it would have been better?
Yes, definitely. No doubt about it. And as a matter of fact, there was at one point, I'm not even sure now, there was a canned food that Purina purchased the patent from me. And that food in its original iteration was properly formulated. But then they made the dry form of it, and you can't make a dry food without putting it through an extruder, which means you have to add starch to it.
Right.
So the dry form of the food was an abomination. Of course, Hill's and their famous high-fiber diets for diabetics were designed not so much to provide less sugar to the cat, but to just put so much fiber in it that the cat didn't absorb as much of it. And of course, people complained because one, the cats didn't like these foods, and two, they created a horrendous amount of stool, and they prevented the absorption of other nutrients. So it was just bad all around. It was a train wreck.
A train wreck, all of it driven with wrong thinking. Because if right thinking is that an obligate carnivore should be eating the equivalent of a mouse, and there's a lot now of really great high-quality foods in a can that do a very good job of mimicking a mouse, or in your case, in other people's, feeding raw frozen or making your own raw with all the careful, you know, anti-salmonella kind of things that you can do.
Right.
That solution has been there all along. And now there's lots of frozen, even cooked foods that mimic good quality canned foods. So people have choices. The question is, why do cat owners, I don't understand why, oh sure, you know, you and I have been talking for a decade, and I know there's a lot of people out there who heard the message and have followed the Pied Piper and feed only wet foods, and they're thrilled. But why do so many other people keep feeding these dry foods? Are they feeding themselves and their human children just as poorly? Because I think we just have to touch on that. What humans are being fed by each other and by big food in the human side is making Americans and now other countries, a lot of other countries, incredibly ill from eating foods that are made wrong.
Right. Well, it's happening on the human side, too. So there's an analogy there.
Yes.
Well, people who are beating the right drum, and we know beyond the shadow of any doubt we are on the right side of this argument, but we're shouted down. I mean, if you watch television, how many commercials for, cat chow? When I see a cat chow commercial talking about how wonderful it is for this darling little kitten that's on screen, even my husband goes, oh boy, I bet you have to get up and leave, right, during this one? And it's like, I can't mute it, do something to it. I can't bear it. We're being shouted down, because the government is simply not interested. And I'm laying this eventually on government, not that I think government solves every problem. But if we would just take the time to educate people better, be as loud as the drum that's being beaten to sell breakfast cereal. Essentially, there's one commercial, I forget exactly what food it is, but it's one of these better wet foods, you know, the real, it's Farmer's Dog. I love it. I love to see that. I just wish we had Farmer's Cat out there now. And I don't work for that company. I don't even know who that company is, but I love their commercial that says, you wouldn't feed your family breakfast cereal every day of their life, would you? And I thought, yay, that's exactly it.
Well, that is the message, but Elizabeth, I think it has to go back even two steps behind that, because you are personally, as is your husband, as is my husband, very non-carb in your own intake. You are very strict about it. You don't eat carbs, or you eat very few of them, or you're selective about which carbs you will eat. And I think that for humans, the problem starts with the fact that breakfast cereal is a horrible way to start the day, particularly for children. Even if they weren't sugared, which they are heavily sugared and heavily chemicalized and colored with colorants known for decades in Europe to cause cancer, cancer-causing chemicals on highly sugared breakfast cereals made of all kinds of carbs that are just don't belong in humans, quite frankly. They've just made them so attractive looking to little children. They put in pieces of candy, which are marshmallows and chocolate bits and sprinkles and sprinkles. But I mean, there's many that copy it. And people are feeding just these vast amounts of things that kids get hooked on, both visually and mentally and physically. So you can say, would you feed your family breakfast cereal every meal? You shouldn't feed them breakfast cereal at breakfast. How about that?
At breakfast, no.
I mean, that's the problem. So the same thing with your cats. But, I mean, please, everybody, stop and think. What Big Food is selling you, because it's attractive and because they have these enormous television advertisement budgets, should not be something you just follow like somebody in a daze off to the incredibly expensive cereal aisle. I mean, when I walk down that aisle, I'm horrified. How can people afford $5 a box for something that feeds maybe two kids for not even a whole week? And meanwhile, those poor kids got no protein. They got nothing to sustain their minds and their bodies until lunchtime.
Nope.
Leave aside what they got for lunch. I have no idea what they're eating for lunch. If we could just get rid of breakfast cereal, but, you know, that's a dream that is never going to be realized. So let's just at least do it for our cats, okay? Let's just not be looking.
I'd be happy. I could die happy with that.
Exactly. So we say to you once again, there are just an increasing number of reasons to please not feed kitty crack. And if your cat has diabetes, please go to Your Diabetic Cat or some of the other fantastic online doctor-driven websites that are there not to make a buck, but to make cats well. Or write to me, Tracy at Tracy Hotchner Pets, and we will help you get your cat to become non-diabetic without $300 a month of medicine and to have a longer, happier, healthier life from then on. Diabetes aside. So Elizabeth Hodgkins, thank you for still caring and still having your hair on fire, even though you're in retirement and trying to be mellow and zen. I think this is really good for you. Thank you so much.
Well, we can't save them all, Tracy, but we're going to save a few of them. Right?
One cat at a time. That's our motto.
One cat at a time.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. I also want to thank Wonderside, founded by a woman entrepreneur who discovered effective natural ways to repel fleas, ticks, and other pests on her pets and around her home instead of putting toxic chemicals in or on them. Wonderside makes plant-powered products to keep parasites at bay without the harsh chemicals that can be harmful to your cats, your property, and the planet. This show is also supported by the privately developed Magic Fabric Pet Throws that trap hair, dirt, and moisture when cats get up on the furniture, bed, or your lap. Magic Fabric Pet Throws invite kitty cuddle time without sacrificing your clothes or furniture. A final pause up to Dr. Elsie's again for all the fine products they make and their unwavering support of my mission to make life better for each and every kitty cat and their people.